A second possible explanation for the spread of Calvinism is just that it was a more convincing doctrine. It was more rational, it was more biblical, this is a pro-Calvinist interpretation, but nonetheless I think we have to take note of the fact that during the mid-16th century, the Calvinist church in France was growing despite persecution, and there is no denying that Calvin's Institutes of the Christian Religion is really a model of intellectual rigor and logic. Nonetheless, again, we have to qualify this explanation. The appeal of doctrine can only be a partial explanation for two key reasons. First of all, it's clear that many Huguenots simply didn't understand the subtleties of doctrine. Your average Calvinist probably didn't have a firm grasp of all the ins and outs of predestination and sanctification. Second of all, historical evidence makes it clear that the appeal of Calvinism was socially differential. And this brings us to the third class of arguments advanced to explain Calvinism in France, a kind of sociological argument that Calvinism appeals to the ethos of particular social groups. And there are two sub-variants of this sociological reading. Some historians have argued that Calvinism appeals to merchants and other members of the middle and high bourgeoisie in cities who had a strong sense of their own personal dignity and who resented any kind of mediation by Catholic clerics in their own salvation. The second variant of the sociological argument focuses on artisans, weavers, printers, these sorts of craftsmen in the cities, who were typically excluded from the affairs of their oligarchic guilds, who suffered from a declining standard of living as inflation eroded their earnings. That's the second variant. Now, it is true, again, that Protestantism in France, like elsewhere in early modern Europe, was overwhelmingly an urban religion. Most Huguenots in France were either merchants or magistrates, or they were artisans. And it's not hard to see that the faith of Huguenots, with its emphasis on austerity, with its rejection of religious images, clashed with a lot of the popular culture of the common people. Calvinists frowned on carnivals, on feasting, on dancing, on the tavern. In many ways, the kinds of rituals around which the lives of the common people were organized clash completely with the Calvinist ethos. There's actually an interesting incident from the southern French city of Montpellier in the early 1560s when some 600 vineyard workers and their wives and their daughters, many of these women, the Calvinist observer who noted this, pointed out, had long hair falling over their bare shoulders. And they came into the town, and for three Sundays running, they paraded around, and they began shouting, "We're going to dance in spite of the Huguenots." So this clash was obvious to people even at the time. Moreover, there were shortages of ministers. There were barely enough to cover the cities, and for that reason, very few Calvinist ministers were sent to the countryside. Moreover, we've talked in earlier lectures about the kind of locality of life in France. This extends to language as well. Most French people in the 16th century spoke a kind of local dialect, which would not have been comprehensible to people a couple of hundred miles away. The Huguenot ministers, educated at universities and educated in cities, preached in French rather than in dialect, and that made their message less accessible to the rural masses. Indeed, the problems of illiteracy were also greatest in rural areas, which made the Bible-focused aspect of Calvinist worship less accessible to the peasantry. But if we can advance these reasons to explain why Calvinism should have appealed primarily to artisans and merchants and not to peasants, we're still confronted with the problem of why a sociological or an economic revolt should take on a Protestant religious form. Because most of the really burdensome features of the Catholic Church, for example, the tithe, that exaction on the peasant's harvest, were fully supported by the Calvinist churches. They merely wished to appropriate them for their own ministers rather than to abolish them and alleviate the burden on the peasantry. Moreover, if we turn to the artisans themselves, it's not at all clear that they would have been able to escape their social subordination via Protestantism. The investigations that have been undertaken in southern France into the social background of those people who served as elders in the Protestant churches revealed that fewer than a sixth of them were artisans or peasants. The overwhelming members of them were drawn from office holders, they were lawyers, they were merchants, they were members of an elite. This interlocking of the consistory with the local elite did strengthen Calvinism, it made it respectable, but it also led to a kind of oligarchy. The fourth interpretation, which is often advanced for the spread of Calvinism, especially for the spread of Calvinism among the nobility, is a cynical interpretation, and it just says opportunistic self-interest. That's what drove a lot of people into Calvinism. And I think it has to be said that Aristocratic support for Protestantism was crucial to its survival in France. It's been called the keystone of the French Reformation, and indeed the nobility was probably the class most affected by Calvinism in the 16th century. In one part of Normandy, where the records are very good, we know that by the early 1560s, something like 40% of the nobility were already Protestant. Now,